What's good, y'all? Let's Make Sense of It podcast. We are back. Man, it's been a while.
Finally.
We're back for another week, back for another year. and new year, but shit don't change, you know, like we always say.
The truth you don't want, but you definitely need.
You definitely need. If you need a reintroduction, I go by the boy Vance.
And I'm Ash.
We are back again. Oh, back again, back again.
2024.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while.
The same shit, different year, y'all.
The way this year been starting off, it's just been ghetto.
Very much so.
It's been ghetto. But, you know, we back to try to restore some, you know, something in the world, because, whew. So, all right, let's get back into the swing of things here. We're going to start it off this way this year. Setting boundaries. It's going to be the overall topic. So setting boundaries. First, let's start off with setting boundaries when it comes to, let's start with family first.
Child, they be the main ones you need to set a boundary with. Because especially like, you know, I'm a new mom. So you got family members who done had kids, had multiple kids, you know, everything that they did, this is what you should do. And, you know, if you're not comfortable with something, sometimes they make you feel uncomfortable about it. They make you feel bad about it, like what you want to do with your child or what you want to do with your life in general. They will be very judgmental.
Yeah. When it comes to family boundaries, that's a good one. And I'm glad you started off with the child one, because sometimes people feel like they feel like your baby is their baby.
It's not.
They feel like their baby's, like, they feel as though they should be able to tell you how to raise your kid, how to go about it, especially for a first-time parent. It's like, child. I got certain stuff you got to figure out on your own.
That's what I'm saying. I don't care if you had a whole village and then some. It's just not, it don't correlate with the same thing with me, especially because sometimes you had kids years ago and things are different now than they were back then.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even say, like, just because you raised a child and I see that your child is prospering, there's nothing wrong with them, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that I could do the same thing.
Right, because, you know, sometimes nowadays people want to go with the gentle parenting route and then some of the older people, they want to go with the old school way of raising your kid.
I still think you should beat your fucking kid.
I feel like it should be a balance. I feel like we definitely should be a balance, because the gentle parenting is cool, but it's only so much gentle before you got to be, you know what I'm saying? You got to, because these kids nowadays is different.
It's just about, like, when it comes to, like, family, it's just, like, everybody will say, well, you only get, like, one mom, you only get one dad, you only get a certain amount of sisters, brothers, or one grandmother, one grandpa. But it's just, like, you can't be so stuck in your ways that you feel as though you can overstep into my life how you either were raised or how you feel as though you grew into this world. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah, because to transition from family, from setting boundaries with family to specifically setting boundaries with family when it comes to business.
Right.
That's another big thing, because especially when somebody's like trying to become an entrepreneur, you know, they're trying to get your business off the ground and everything, they feel as though they know who you are. They feel as though automatically discount. You should be able to do certain things, especially like hypothetically, say you have a food business. Let's start there. And they come in, they just think every time they come in there, they just supposed to automatically get a discount.
No.
They're supposed to automatically do this.
But you're going to pay like everybody else.
People don't like that. That causes a lot of friction, because people call it you acting different. But no, like I'm not. You got to learn how to separate that family part of me from this. This is my business. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing to you know, raise my family. Right. Make sure everything's good. You just can't. If you come in and then five other family members come in.
And then a whole family coming in for a whole reunion, sitting in the back of my restaurant. Get out.
Because you because
they'll want like discounts, and then there was special service, and they'd be like, oh, well, you know, say if you do own a restaurant, and then like your family comes in, they take up a large portion of the restaurant one night, and you got servers that are your workers, like you pay them, they on payroll, and they serving your family, and family like, oh, well, my brother is the owner, let him know that we want a bottle of such and such, like, oh, we want this, and we want that, and we want six plates of lamb chops, and it's like, no.
Yeah.
Like, the cost of the goods did not go down because you are a family member. I'm about to go out of stock of a lot of shit because you think all of y'all supposed to get the same thing.
And you know what's crazy about that? Sometimes you try to get your family to work at your particular, you know, place of business, but sometimes them lines get crossed too.
Yeah, and I don't think family should really work for you. Really? I really don't believe family should work for you, because even if, like, you can have a family member that's down and out, and then, like, you give them a job and give them an opportunity to get themselves out of whatever hole that they're in, and then they'll take advantage of it.
Right.
It's just like, if I got to roll out of bed at 7 to go open a store or start the business or whatever the case may be, and you got to be there at 8, don't call me at 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30 and say, oh, cuz, I'm not coming in because, you know, I was out last night or da-da-da. Right. Like, if me and you was at the party last night, the family party last night together, and I'm still at work on time, you should be there.
Yeah, but like I say, I think it's a privilege. Once again, that's how a lot of businesses go out of business. Trying to please everybody. You know, yeah. you can't be nice to everybody. That's why they say you should never be friends with your boss, because that's not how
your
boss is not your friend.
Never. Okay, I close y'all. I don't know.
And that's what happens with a lot of family businesses. Mm-mm. Like, y'all was cool close. Y'all can't, they can't separate. And then that's when it causes a lot of tension too.
Yeah, like, even when, like, husbands and wives go into business together, it's somewhere along the lines, a line gets blurred where their personal falls into their business or the business part. Now we in bed talking about the business. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Let's do it at breakfast. Maybe breakfast, but not in bed. Not right now. I don't want to talk about that.
Setting boundaries when it comes to, well, off of business, let's go to work, because everybody don't have businesses. Right. So if you do have a job, setting them type of boundaries too.
Everybody is not your friend. And it's sad to say, because, like, I've had jobs where I got really close, like, my coworkers or whatever case, my coworkers became like family and everything like that. But it's just like, at the end of the day, like, y'all all are working, whether y'all got the same position or you hired in somebody, they hired in you, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Y'all all are working at this one job. None of y'all own it. Right. So at the end of the day, if shit go left, I'm not saying that they're going to automatically throw you under the bus, but it's like everybody for themselves.
Yeah.
Save your own fucking skin, because who's to say you go to HR and they like, well, we just need to know your side of the story. And you tell them, like, you know, you thinking your friend had your back. Yeah,
exactly. They don't get
no. Next thing you know, you get a termination letter. Done.
Yeah. And people need to separate coworkers from friends too. Like, cool, like, that's the that's part of it too. You thinking this person's your friend the whole time, it's the work snitch.
They telling the whole office what you do on Saturday night.
You see what I'm saying? You thinking they cool. Next thing you know, you got your Instagram floating around, the freaking social media's floating around. They like, oh no, see, look, he was at this party, she was at this party. Mm-hmm. This is why they ain't coming in. They told you was sick.
Yep. They on vacation. This motherfucker in DR right now.
Yeah, like, they called out sick. And the, like you said, they in a whole different place. They said they had COVID or something.
COVID was, I know a lot of people use COVID as an excuse not to do a lot of shit at work. Like, I got COVID. Oh, okay.
That's why y'all was finessing hard, y'all. Finessing. Like, my job, we would, like, they would, like, give us, like, if we called out for COVID, we were allowed to be out for 3 days.
Right.
And, like, everybody would abuse that, like, so bad. Because there's nothing they could do at that time. Like,
if I come in, I'm spreading it.
So they, like, just, even if you don't got it, if you do got it, like, just don't even come in. You got... I think it was like a certain amount of times you can do it, but it, like, people were abusing it. It was one time I lied. I went on vacation and I told, you know what I'm saying, and I used the COVID. You know what I'm saying? I said, I got COVID, I'm not coming in. They, like, my manager, I told him the truth, but he went and told somebody else, thinking, like, it'd be all right, you don't gotta lie.
Mm-hmm.
The person found out and they was like, so you really going on vacation? I thought you were sick. I said, I never said that. I never told you that.
You probably was like, what?
I was sick. I still went on vacation though.
Sick. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
That ain't gonna stop you. Boundaries when it comes to relationships. Let's go there. Let's go there with the boundaries with relationships. What's certain boundaries in a relationship that people might overlook that you might think someone shouldn't cross? Outside of the obvious.
Your morals and your values come with those. Like, you put your boundaries aside with those. So if it's like things that you know is a hard pass that you won't really, like, budge on, and then somebody tries to finesse you or tries to persuade you to go the other way. I mean,
you talking about work husband type stuff?
That's not even a boundary. It's just like a no-no. You're just like, don't do it. Or if you're going to be doing it, don't be out just telling the world, like, I got a work husband, I got a work wife. And that's like, weird. That's just weird. That's like, weird, why are you telling people that?
We, That's weird. We're not doing the work.
Like,
yo, just random, like, since Valentine's Day, like, just because of Valentine's Day, by the time y'all see it, it's probably in the past, but just because of Valentine's Day, like, if someone, whether, well, most likely it's going to be the woman that gets something, but say a work husband brought something home, like, I mean, gave something to, or vice versa. It could be a work wife. I don't know. Listen, I don't know how things, I work with all dudes, so I don't know how it works.
He was a kind of a work husband. This was like, was a bartender at this moment. But yeah, and my boyfriend at that time, piece of shit. And I was just like, it's Valentine's Day. I don't think he got me nothing, da da da. And he, the guy at work, he was gay. Like, when I say gay, he was gay, honey. And he was like, I got you. Bought me this big-ass teddy bear, honey. I had, bought me this big-ass teddy bear, about 15 balloons.
Damn.
And he got me a card. And he was like, here. And I took all that stuff home.
Oh, man.
And I walked in, and my boyfriend at that time was cooking me dinner. And I was like, oh, Jose. So he still didn't get me up, but he was cooking dinner. And I had to bring all these fucking balloons and this teddy bear in the house or whatever. And he was like, oh, where you get that from? And I was just like, oh, my dad got it.
Damn. Wow. Why would you lie?
You had the out.
Because he was one of them type, no matter if he was gay, straight, in between, it was just like, he would have felt the type of way regardless.
If he was straight. Would you still accept it?
No.
You think you would have accepted it?
No. Me and the guy were like really, like we were really cool at the job or whatever. But if he was straight, no. But that relationship in itself was just a lot. So y'all can judge me all you fucking want. I'm not doing it now. I haven't done it since.
Right.
But during that time, I didn't really feel bad, but I really didn't want to tell him, you know, where it was from. I didn't feel like going through the motions of that argument because he would have felt some type of way regardless. So telling him it was from my dad was the best.
I don't think a guy couldn't get away with that. God come home with some chocolates or something.
Where you get that from?
He had to finesse that. No, this was for you.
It's yours.
He had to finesse that one.
Yeah, like nah.
I'm trying to think other boundaries when it comes with a relationship, like to a relationship.
So I would say talking to opposite sex on the phone for too long on the phone, like while y'all both in the crib
at a certain hour after about 10 o'clock that shit shuts off.
Let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Let's wrap this shit up. Matter of fact, around 9:30 y'all should be wrapping whatever that conversation was. It should be like close to an end, but 10 o'clock we need a hard stop.
Yeah, cause I think anything after that, that's like, now it's getting a little disrespectful.
Now we get into our nighttime routine. Like, you done took a shower, I done took a shower. We about to get in bed. We getting our snacks together. Maybe we, like, you know, we doing our adult time. Like, you should be on the phone.
Yeah.
See, that's why you have some people who will say, like, like, your friends shouldn't be your partner friends either. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the dynamic, you can twist that a little bit. Because I feel like I experienced that a little bit where, like, one of my cousins, like, I introduced them to, like, somebody I was dating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was in a click.
Right.
So, when I called my cousin or my cousin called me and I'm with this particular person.
Right.
We all talking.
Nothing. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I feel like that make more sense because it won't feel as awkward. But if it's somebody that the person I'm dealing with not familiar with, the person's calling me, I'm not going to talk to them at no weird hour because they don't know who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just like anything, it's always an exception to a rule or something like that. Whatever. That will be an exception. Like, I introduced them, especially if y'all were together for a minute, like, or whatever, like I'm saying, like, you and Tiff been together for a minute, so you introduce her to a cousin and they click.
Right.
Y'all been together so long, it's just like, all right, so if she called me or whatever case may be, like, them two click, so they gonna talk to each other. Or vice versa, if she introduced one of her cousins and they happen. So it's always an exception to a rule, but the main thing is when you get into a relationship, y'all living together, after a certain hour, it's just like you on the phone with them. Like, it's just like y'all can bust it up tomorrow.
Yeah.
At this time, it's just like it's me and you.
Only single people talk after 9 o'clock.
Think so?
After 9 o'clock, only single people are on the phone.
That is true.
Yeah, you might have a point there.
That is true.
Yeah, because you like, what are y'all talking about? Mm. What's really happening?
Because I want to know, like, did your problem just happen? Right. Like, did it just happen at 10 o'clock? Is that why you called me? Or did it happen early in the day? You think that 10 o'clock was the perfect time to call me about it?
Yeah, we ain't doing that. I'm trying to think. Any other boundaries that we missed out on? I'm sure it's probably a bunch of people.
It's a bunch of boundaries.
Still being friends with an ex?
Mm. Oh wait, I have an exception to that rule.
Yeah, we know.
My ex is in my main friend group. That's just, it is what it is. I mean,
that's a rare occasion though.
That stated from the beginning, like, listen, hey, I have an ex. They're in my main friend group. But they will
also
be around.
That also comes with what a lot of people don't have. Trust in their relationship.
That's true.
That's got to come
with
that too.
And you got people that are friends with their ex, but their ex, just like when they be like, "Oh, chicks can still fuck their baby father." Mm-hmm. Like those type of things. When somebody will have a problem with you being friends with your ex if that ex still is accessible to you in that way.
Right.
We have a special guest. Y'all can't see her, but she probably can hear her. Uh-huh. But yeah, like you have exceptions to those rules, but it's just like if that ex is still like you're still accessible to them in that way where mm-hmm. they can like flirt with you or shit like that, then that causes a problem.
Yeah, and that's when you just.
But if y'all know both of y'all just cut it, y'all done. Ain't no love lost. Ain't no intimacy there.
Yeah. But some people, they get in a relationship, and even if that's the case, they mm-hmm. still can't, they can't, they just can't, they wouldn't want you being friends with an ex. Like, no matter what.
I mean.
And then I guess that's just something that, you know, maybe they had a bad experience. It was just kind of going to tie into another question I got down the line, but mm-hmm. with that, so, I mean, that could be a part of the trauma they dealt with.
That's true.
And it's just like that just kind of brings up, you know, matter of fact. Find that question. Why we at it? I'm gonna have to find that question. I'll find it in a second. All right, so let's transition from that. Let's go to bitter single people mm-hmm. and the trauma behind it, because it's a lot of bitter single people out here, and they got a lot of trauma that they don't even know that they're fighting, but they do it to themselves every single day. Like, you ever just see somebody, they go online and either they constantly bash men or they constantly bash women every other post. And you're like, I don't never want to deal with this type of woman. How would I put it? Not this type of woman. They just say women in general. Or they'll just say men in general. Usually it's niggas.
Right.
Usually they say niggas in general. And you'd be like, you just want to go say, you want to say go hill? Because you don't want to see that shit all day. Like somebody will say somebody will post a positive post. Mm-hmm. It could be a couple that, we don't know if they're happy or not.
Right.
They look happy. They took a nice picture. It's somebody underneath the post that's going to just have something negative to say.
That's why I would never want to be posted on Shade Room. Ever. Oh, they take the happiest fucking moments and turn them into he probably cheating on her. She probably sleeping with this nigga. You can't, like, it be women. Like, I've seen it constantly, like, videos, past couple of days, too, like, women expressing how they, like, take care of their man. Mm-hmm. Or they do this for their man or whatever.
Oh, in the
like,
post,
in the comments be like, oh, I couldn't do that, or it has to be reciprocated. No, like, if I'm saying that I do this for my man, mm-hmm. obviously it's fucking reciprocated, or I'm just an idiot and I'm just doing this shit for shits and giggles.
But, you know, it'd be a post like that, and then it'd be 5 bitter chicks. The beginning of the post that'll say you do all this for a man and he still go cheat. Like, this ain't had nothing.
Child,
to do.
The number one fucking lie.
That's the That's the craziest thing ever. That's the craziest thing about you. First of all, go heal. Like, you came on this post, or it'll be a post. It'll say men name something like this, and then men name something that attracts you outside of such and such, or turns you on outside of such and such. And here come the women. In the comments, the first 15 comments is women. It was like, we asked men. We didn't ask you.
Didn't
like,
ask
why
you,
are
you, baby.
Why are you here?
It's not your moment. It's not set. Have a seat.
Or it'd be like, the men want this, but then such and such and such. Be like, why are you so bitter? Like, you just come online to just be bitter.
Like, if you believe every man is going to cheat, stay single.
That's fine.
If you believe every woman is out here with a side dude, stay single.
But they be.
I don't understand. Like, there's a lot of this shit that people complain about and be so bitter about is very straightforward, like A to B. Mm-hmm. If you think that this is the way that all of these people are, stay by yourself.
But the crazy part, they be talking about both sides of their mouth. On one hand is all men gonna do this, yada, yada, yada. But then them cold nights or them nights where they all drunk and they lonely, they hit you with the damn, I wish I had a nigga, wish I had a guy, or I wanna find, you can't on one hand say all of this negativity, put all that negativity in the air, you don't want to deal with this. And then on the other hand say, well, I want to find a love of my life. Which one do you want?
Child, just keep it private. If you bitter, if you upset that you lonely, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, why?
If you happy that you lonely, keep it to yourself. I know, nobody gives a fuck.
Because then it'll be the post where something negative happens, and then 100 people say, well, that's why I'm single. That's why I'd rather stay single.
That's fine if you want to be single. But a lot of times y'all be single and y'all take it to the next level, and it becomes y'all real bitter because now nobody can share a joyous moment about their relationship with you. Yeah. That's like you in a relationship and you got a single friend. And you can't even talk to them about your relationship because everything they come back with was when my ex did that. Oh, girl, you got to watch out for that because he might be doing such and such on the side. Or you got to make sure you check his home because if he did this, then my ex did that. And it's just like I had no doubts in my relationship at all. And you just throwing a bunch of fucking salt on this shit right now. And I don't understand why. If I'm telling you something good about it, why are you throwing salt on it?
But you know what it be? It be like social media is a gift and a curse. Because social media, especially nowadays, especially when it comes to podcasts, a lot of podcasts get bad names because right. it's a lot of good content out there, but it's also a lot of the content that goes viral is a lot of bullshit content, and you'd be like, they had to pay for that. It's like, there's no way somebody just decided that they just want to talk about this. I seen a post the other day, and this is when I was like, where a chick said she don't feel anybody should be incarcerated and cruel and rapist. And at that point, I realized, like, they post anything online.
Definitely.
You post anything
online.
When
they be posting that shit, like, oh, men that cook dinner are sassy.
Yeah, like, what?
I be like, what? Like, he can't eat? Listen. The fuck is it?
Give y'all a tip. Nobody, when it comes to podcasting, it's a lot of lanes. And we, like, created our own lane. We ain't got to be like everybody else. But you don't always have to talk about something sexual. You don't always have to talk about. We don't care about your bedroom. We don't care how many people you slept with. We don't care who did what with what back where. Nope. We don't care about none of that. Because all it does is just create content. And people be like, it makes people hate podcasts. And it's a lot of people that love podcasts. But it makes people hate podcasts. They're like, you just can't seem to decipher. And then the positive shit or the shit that should go viral, it never goes viral.
That's true.
Because
people overlook it. Already recycled.
Yeah. So, hey, that's shit. So, off of that, it says, speaking of single people, why is being fine and single a red flag to people?
It all depends on how long you've been single.
I get tired of, like, talking to people who are also single and they just go based off social media or, like, your first initial interaction with them. And they be like, well, why are you single? Shouldn't you seem like you should be in a relationship?
What, or just ask, why are you single? And that's an actual conversation. When you say, like, why are you single? And then it's like, okay, you wait for them to respond. And then you respond off of that. But not, why are you single? You look like you got a bunch of hoes. Or why are you single? Yo, you look like you constantly get niggas. Or why are you single? You look like, you know, or you probably the one, you probably the type that cheat. That's probably why you single. Like, damn, bitch. Pause.
You know, it's crazy. I feel like I'm a prime example of a lot of stuff that be happening, like being a single man. Mm-hmm. And I know for sure I'm gonna get cuffed soon. Let y'all know that now.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
But like this one girl I was dating, she was asking like these questions that like made me think, made me really like. Certain things are really essential when it comes to trying to find that next person. And like, I realize now I'm like kind of in my late 20s. It's like, I realize, yo, men at some point really do realize what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest. Like, I feel like, damn, if women say that, it to me be like, well, you just kind of expecting a man to just know if he want to marry you off the bat. And I'm like, damn, you know what? No, you kind of right. Cause I feel like that now. Like I know what I want. I know where I want to go, how I want to do it, how I want to cater to a woman, and it's really based on just the connection I have with that person. Cause I'm gonna be honest, I'm lazy. I don't like dating. I be getting away. Like, and women will look at me like, damn, why this and this. Baby, I was a whore. I ain't gonna lie. Like,
at least he was honest.
You know what I'm saying?
At least she was honest.
Because now is I can live in my truth. I can talk about my past and be like, yo, I ain't gonna lie. I was really in the streets. I ain't gonna hold you. Right. I done dealt with a lot of women.
As long as you can say it.
And what'd you say?
I said, as long as you can say it.
Yeah, like,
I mean, listen.
Because it's weird saying stuff out loud. Now, like, I'm like, feel like I'm living in my truth. Like, yeah, I can say it out loud. Like, yeah, I ain't gonna hold you. I'm saying I used to be one of them niggas. It was low key, but you know what I'm saying, I was outside.
That's the listen. As long as it was low key,
yeah.
That means nobody can walk up to you randomly and be like, you a whore. Like, what?
Listen, that means you getting close. You know what that means? That means you getting close to 30. Listen, I swear, every nigga that get close to 30 be like, or well, niggas that got shit going on. Because if you just gonna be a bum ass nigga, you just gonna be a whore. You gonna be, that's what you gonna do. But niggas that get close to 30, they be like, their whole mindset changed. Like, damn, all right. Getting up there.
Because you realize this is just like, you going to be, sorry. So you decide to be single into your 30s, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be. Especially if you got a good career, you got your own place, like you got a car. Even if you don't have a car, it is what it is.
Right.
But you got like your own, you got a roof over your head that's yours. Even if you rent, it's yours. You got a good job, or whatever the case may be. You got money in your pocket. Like, you have the means to do what you want to do and come as you want to go. Come as you please and everything like that. It's just like, eventually, you're going to want somebody to share that with.
Right.
Because how much dating can you actually do before you actually find a person that you actually just want to, like, talk to? Like, somebody that you want to randomly, on a Tuesday afternoon, mm-hmm. call them and be like, babe, I want such and such. We should go get it.
Yeah.
Who else is going to take that ride with you?
Yeah.
And offer to maybe pick up the check so you don't have to.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Because if you dating, ain't nobody doing it.
No.
Ain't nobody doing it. Mm-hmm. This is all you.
Exactly. But, you know, it's the fine and single thing. Sometimes it could be a red flag, too. Now, we're not going to always say necessary. It's not always a red flag.
Yeah, you could
it could be something wrong. It could be something wrong with you.
You could be ugly on it. You could have a very ugly personality.
Yeah.
You can be a bum.
Yeah.
Bitches can be bums, too.
Yeah.
Or you can be, you know, somebody that's just stuck in their ways, they just don't want to, like, move away from that. Or they think that because they look good, it gets them everything in life. They don't have to work for anything else.
Right.
So, yeah. So
I mean, it's another thing. It's a lot of people automatically just assume when someone's single that they can't get somebody, which is not true. But sometimes they're trying to find, you know, that right person. I mean, is there always really going to be, like, the right person? Maybe. How would I put this?
I got you. I realize that I come across people, they're cool to date, but they just not that person for you.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, like,
there you go.
Sometimes people are more friends, like, they like cool, like, you know, yeah, you cool, whatever, but you just can't really, it's something about it that you just like, I can't see myself in a relationship with you. Maybe
I can't
not
see us going steady.
Yeah, like, I see us being cool, you know, we do whatever, but I can't really see us, mm-hmm. like, being that.
And another thing, if you like somebody that's single and you fine, or you like really look good, it's something for everybody to be attracted to you. Mm-hmm. So now you have to weed through everybody to see who's really looking at you for more than what you look like on the outside. So it's just like a sense of, I won't say ugly people, but people that might not be like everybody's like top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Your pool is a little different. So you can weed them out a tad bit better to see who's really there for you or not. Because there might be a lot of females and men that, like, look really good and everybody is attracted to them because right off the bat, it's just like, oh, you fine as hell, and but their conversation goes nowhere.
Right.
Like, your conversation just, like, stops right there. Oh, you look good, and then it goes to sexual, but it doesn't build off of that. So now you got to weed through 60 motherfuckers who thinking the same thing before you find one.
You got to get that chemistry, too. It's like, people don't even be trying to get chemistry no more. They be right at you. They be, can I come over?
No.
They be right.
Can't come over.
They be right at you. What hurts more, being assaulted by your partner or being compared to the person they were so in love with? Being assaulted by your partner or being compared to the person they
what
were
you
in
mean
love
insulted?
With?
Like, they call it, like, what?
I would say being compared to somebody that you used to deal with.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to talk shit back. Oh, I'm fat, or your feet crusty.
You right at it.
Like,
I would probably say being compared to I'm going to say the same thing, because, like, why are you still even thinking about that person?
Very much so.
Like, why? I thought, you know what? That could be a red flag / it's somewhere there's still some trauma in there that they didn't heal from. Because if they're seeing those type of signs in you, then it could be you too, though. It could be you too. Yeah,
it depends on what they, it's like, if you got character traits that, or like personality traits that might pop out,
mm-hmm.
then I might notice that, like, oh, my ex used to do that. And I might be like, I may not tell you to your face, like, oh, my ex used to do that. Like, you need to stop that. It might be like a, you are bringing up some feelings that I don't like. Right. So we need to adjust it because whatever you're doing right now is triggering me.
Right.
Just like they say trauma, you don't completely heal from trauma. A trigger is a trigger. It just depends on how you respond to it, whether you lash out or you handle it accordingly. But I don't want to be compared to no fucking body.
How would y'all feel if somebody was comparing you, like, low-key in a positive way where, like, there was an ex that somebody had and they kind of set the bar?
Right.
Well, if they set the bar, I'm trying to figure out why you not with them. Right. If this bar was so damn high, why you over here? You trying to limbo.
I want to know I want to know why y'all separated. Did y'all separate? Like, was it like a we just realized that we were better off as friends and like not be together? Because those is always tricky. It's just like y'all might eventually like. I don't want y'all to cross paths. Because what if I'm just a stepping stone?
Oh shit!
Like, what if I'm just a stepping stone for you to fix whatever you need to fix, and then you cross paths with that person again, and now it's like you're better.
I ain't gonna lie, I feel like I'm like that for like maybe 2 to 3 exes.
Damn.
Not gonna hold you.
Damn.
I know I set the bar. And now, I ain't trying to be on no cocky shit. Mm-hmm. I just feel like you have people who have experienced a certain level of intimacy or dating, mm-hmm. and they go to the next person and they just be like, damn, this not it.
Yeah. Like somebody showing you genuine love.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of people don't have that or know what it mm-hmm. looks like. Or like dating a guy that doesn't know what it feels like to be spoiled.
You know what? That's I noticed that recently that when a woman say, you know, I spoil my man, that a lot of women or a lot of men never got that. Like, not
and it's crazy. Like, and it could be the simplest thing. Like, oh no, my last girl didn't, like, she didn't pay for dinner. Or when it comes to, like, Valentine's Day is coming up. And I know a lot of us joking, be like, oh, it's a woman's holiday or whatever the case may be. But mm-hmm. what if your man, like, getting your man a basket of just, like, I mean, a nigga always need drawers. For some odd reason, guys always need, like, underwear, t-shirts, socks. It's like all that the shit essentials. Goes missing. Like, you always need essentials. But, like, stuff that he's, like the lotion he's, like the cologne he might be running low on. Mm-hmm.
Get him a watch.
Or stuff like, or a watch or whatever nice case you need. Or stuff like, or a necklace. Anything that he may like. And you put that effort into it because you know Valentine's Day is so balloons and roses and romance and everything like that. It's catered to a woman, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have mm-hmm. a man that meets all your expectations and your needs, why wouldn't you want to do that for him?
Well, and some men can't accept being spoiled because they think it's weird. They're always so used to being the ones doing the spoiling mm-hmm. that when they get spoiled, it's like, oh, what's this?
Like, I love just because gifts. I like giving gifts as mm-hmm. well as receiving them. But I do like giving gifts because I always put a thought into the gift that I'm giving.
Yeah.
So if I'm giving you something, I put thought into it, or I listen to you say like, oh, I'm running low on this, or I need this, or I should have got that, mm-hmm. or whatever case may be. Like, here.
It's the little things.
That's why
you gotta pay attention. You gotta actually listen. Mm-hmm. And when your partner's saying something to you, listen to what they're saying. They usually throwing hints out there or throwing little stuff out there, like, you know, I was such and such. Like, you just pay attention.
That's what I'm talking
Your partner
about.
Will tell you what they, you know what I'm saying? They'll tell you without telling you. Like, or they'll ask you without asking you. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll know.
And I know. If I know when you leave me, you ain't gonna find another me. So I.
Then you get mad.
It's perfectly fine. I'm gonna be in this with any relationship that I'm in, I'm gonna be in that relationship. So I'm gonna do in that relationship what I want to receive back. But just know if you fuck up and let it go and you drop the ball,
right.
this will never happen again.
You know, it's one of the small things that men get spoiled by is a woman being able to cook, because all women can't cook. So or don't even attempt to cook. So if you get a woman that's spoiling you, she might cook for you every day, or she just might just make sure you eat every day. That's mm-hmm. a little bit of sign of you being spoiled, because then you come home like, damn, what's for dinner? And you try like, I don't know, you tell me.
Child, I have it there on pack. If I ain't cook, it's like, listen, this is what we having. And by the time you get home, the Chinese food that you always get is there.
See?
The type of pizza you like is there. If I'm getting something from somewhere else, it's there. Like, I already know what you're going to eat if I'm not cooking. So this is what you got.
And that's...
Unless I really didn't feel like it is bill week, the rent is due. We ain't got no money. The food in the house. You better eat some cereal.
You got to figure it out.
You got to make you a burger or something.
That's a small thing. Men get spoiled by that. Some men ain't never had a home-cooked meal ever.
That's ridiculous.
Outside of their mama. That's and then somebody's mama probably couldn't cook, so they really didn't have a good meal at all.
They don't know.
So, anyway, I mean,
well, I'm so happy I can feed myself because good lord, y'all got it hard.
All right, so we're gonna go through this list here. So it says, what immediately tells you that a person has had a traumatic childhood past? So we're gonna go through the list. And then you'll see. Let me just let me know if y'all agree or not.
I don't want to talk about
so,
that.
So it's 20 of them. So we're just gonna go through the list. So the first one, it says poor eating habits.
Yes.
You think that's one of those signs that they had a traumatic childhood?
I feel like okay, this might be exceptional, but I feel like when you eat like cereal for dinner, that bothers me.
See, that go back to the mom couldn't cook or something.
That bothers me.
Why?
I was not a cereal kid. My mom made breakfast. She made dinner.
You ever had breakfast for dinner?
Yes, I did.
All right,
but I had cereal. It was a home cooked breakfast meal on my plate, not cereal.
True. I mean, I don't think nothing's wrong with cereal, but
yeah, or you constantly snacking, or everything you eat is like quick shit, or whatever case may be. Like you don't know how to put a meal together.
And you know what? That tie back what we just said. Everybody don't have a freaking meal.
Yeah.
Number two, serial dating.
Serial dating.
Serial dating. Like I guess they're not used. They're used to seeing their parents date a bunch of people.
Oh.
I'm guessing that's what that means. What it says, serial dating. So now what they saw,
they never can settle on somebody.
Right. So what they saw, now that's what they're doing now. They just gotta keep dating somebody and never really get anywhere with the person.
I don't know if that makes it comes from a traumatic childhood though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Like if you were, it could be.
If you were like a little boy who saw his mom like kind of rotate niggas mm-hmm. or whatever constantly, like she didn't kind of shield you from that, then that'll change your outlook on women when you get older, I would say.
Okay.
That'll probably make it harder for you to settle down. Or if you were a little girl who saw your mom kind of rotate through niggas or saw your dad like not there, it kind of alters your picture on how you see the opposite sex and how you see dating as a whole.
Right.
So I guess you can say that, but you wouldn't be serial dating. A lot of times you just become a whore.
It says no sexual discipline. I don't know how that would be.
That's not true. That's I don't know.
You got some people who are hypersexual based on trauma.
That's true.
Okay. That's true. Yeah. True.
That's true. Like you had a you lived in a household where they didn't like you weren't treated as a child.
Okay.
You kind of grew up fast. You grew up in a certain household. Your parents, you can see a bunch of adults, a bunch of adults in the room. There's no kids. If your mom wasn't the type to tell you to remove yourself from that conversation,
yeah, that was a big thing. This is grown folks conversation.
Go play with a kid. Mm-hmm. Go sit in your room. Go do something. Like get out of my face. Or your kid is constantly sitting there. Like it's. I mean, I've seen a couple parents that I know do it now mm-hmm. where their child is sitting in their face or
and
whatever.
The kid know everything.
And some of them be like, you know, go on about your business. But I've seen it. And it's just like, that can, when they grow up, that can lead them into, you know, thinking that it's okay to do certain things. And it's not.
People pleasing.
Yeah. That means that you didn't get validation at home.
So they have to constantly.
So you constantly looking someone. For it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you constantly want
to
make
or
sure.
Or you want to be the one that's giving the validation to other people because you never received that yourself.
You don't want to, and you don't want anybody to be mad at you. You kind of always want to stay neutral. You want everybody to be happy so that they can remember that you were the one that made them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that definitely stemmed from childhood.
Hyper religious.
Child.
hyper religious.
I don't think there's no such thing as hyper religious.
I think you just be religious or you're not. I don't think you're like, I don't think it's no, you can't. Well, one,
whatever your household was like. So if you knew you were at church for Bible study, mm-hmm. choir practice, prayer meeting, you were on some type of board or whatever with the church. Then you was at first service.
Mm-hmm.
You was at second service. You went to all the nights to remember and all the banquets and all that type of stuff. Like if you know that maybe one day out of the week you weren't at church, but every other day you were at church, it's just like you gotta yourself want to grow out of that.
Right. That could change you it could change you either way. You could still be religious, but not do all the activities when you grow up. Yeah. Or you can go the opposite, just never go to church. Or, I'm sorry, do the opposite, always go to church still. And then, you know, you just, that's all you know is being in the church. So, I mean, It all depends.
Nah, that's a
negative self-talk.
Ooh, I hate that.
Negative self-talk.
That's a pessimistic person. I hate that so much.
Everything, everything no matter what happens,
is
just,
it's just horrible. Life is just horrible. That's
they can't
that's
see what, no good in anything.
Nothing.
Everything's just negative. Everything's just, and that, people get tired of being around it all the time. And nobody want to be around a negative person all the time. You come to tell them some happy news. You might have, your business might have just took off. Mm-hmm. You might have did whatever, and then here come this miserable person out of nowhere. Oh, that's cool. But what if this happens? You know, well, you know, sometimes, or you, if you give somebody an idea, like, yo, listen, this is what I want to do. This is my plan. And they always gotta give you the negative. Well, you know, this could fail, or you could be wasting your money, or you could be that. You're like, I don't want that type of person around me. Why are you even putting them type of negative, that type of negative talk out there?
They need to, you know what movie people need to look at? For the Trolls movie, like the original, like the first Trolls movie. Mm-hmm. It was a certain point in that movie, like Poppy was, she was optimistic about everything. It didn't matter what the fuck was going on, she was optimistic about it. And then when she realized at the end that she probably couldn't get herself and the rest of her people out of the situation, then she lost her color. And everybody else lost their color because they realized shit ain't gonna work. But I'm saying that to say this. Sometimes people would just, they're so used to nothing working, yeah, or they feel like nothing works, that they just get stuck in that mindset that everything is just gonna fall apart. Like, it doesn't matter if it went good putting it together, but it's gonna fall apart. I don't care what we did, it's gonna fall apart. And it's just like, you can't live your life that way.
Yeah.
Because that means that everything, you just a gray cloud walking the fuck around, and you just gonna thunder and storm on everybody that come near you. Like, if I'm having a good day, don't come to me with this shit.
Right.
I stay over there.
And it could, and most of the time it's probably those kids, they might have been doing good in school, they might have wanted to play sports or something, and their parents told them that you know, the parent might have been negative, and yeah, then now it's like it changed their whole mindset. You can change a kid's mindset very young. Like, it's all about young, what you instill into them. This is a funny one. Poor boundaries, which was kind of funny that we was talking about that. Poor that boundaries.
Part. Like, you can, like, you grew up in a household where you can just
do whatever.
You can do whatever the fuck you want to do.
Just do whatever.
It's just like, and you become an adult and think that that's okay. It's not okay.
I'm like, no.
Like, that's that. Who taught you that?
Young boy, you super horny. What you doing?
Like, who taught you? If you don't go sit down somewhere.
This is not how this works. Easily agitated.
I think that's a personality trait. When you easily agitate, like, mm-hmm, when you just don't have patience for anything. I don't know if that comes from your childhood or not. I think that's like a personality trait. When you just have,
you could though, because you see a lot of parents out here, and they just automatically just yell at their kid, and you trying to figure out, like, what?
Why are you yelling?
Yeah, like, why yelling? All they did was ask you a question, and then
I understand some kids get certain age, they ask a million and two questions, and it might annoy you or whatever the case is. But sometimes y'all just be yelling to yell, and I be like, oh damn,
like, yeah, like, why you mad at the kid?
Looking at like my kid.
Problems with trust.
Yeah. Yeah, because you, as a parent, you can break your kids' trust very quickly. If you constantly are the type of parent that disappoints your child, like, you fall short. And I'm not saying fall short because you overextend yourself, mm-hmm, but fall short because you can't even meet the basic minimums, mm-hmm, of what your child may need sometimes. And I'm not talking about a roof, food, clothing, nothing like that, but just your child being comfortable enough to come to talk to you.
Right.
Comfortable enough to tell you if they're in trouble or something is wrong. If they can't do those things with you, and you always fall short of trying to meet them near, mm-hmm, like, how am I supposed to trust you? Eventually, how am I supposed to trust you when I get older? Like, if I get into some shit where I'm either about to get locked up, or, you know, or I got into whatever the situation may be, it's just I can't come to you to talk to you about it.
Right.
So I don't trust you. When I was a kid, you didn't show me that I can trust you.
Or it could have been like the trust when it comes to the parent always tell you they're going to show up and never show up for you.
That part.
That's a big one, too. You'd be like, I can't. They told me it was going to come to my games, and then you out there looking, and your parents ain't never out there for you, and they keep telling you they're coming, but, you know.
Or you a parent that always telling your kid business.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's weird.
That is weird. Like, the whole family don't need to know that Shonda had three baby daddies and she got three separate kids and she had two miscarriages. The whole family don't need to know that. Like, if I'm coming to you as my mom and tell you about that and you know that, mm-hmm, the only other person that should probably know that is my dad if he's still in the damn house.
This one says memory loss. Memory loss. I don't know how.
Only remember things I care for. Sorry.
Selective memory.
Selective memory. Selective memory.
Or they don't. Oh, maybe they. Maybe they suppressed it. They suppressed certain things in their childhood. So yeah.
Substance abuse. Ooh, that's a big one.
That's a.
Some of these kids be drinking by 12. You be like, God damn.
Damn, I had my first drink or taste of alcohol when I was like 16, I think.
I was
16,
that's
17.
That's about right.
I was 13.
Damn. She was young. She was,
I was thinking, I was thinking wine.
Do you remember, do you remember the first thing you drank?
Yeah.
What was it?
A wine cooler.
All right. This ain't nothing so cheap.
I feel like that's easy though.
I mean, look,
at that age,
we had a full, like, my mom and my grandma used to work at the airport. Mm-hmm. Like, they used to be the people to put, like, stock the plane with food and all everything. That type of stuff when it was a big thing. They used to be taking, like, the little shot bottles. We used to have in our basement, like, it was, we got a, it's a bar down there, but the bar used to be filled with, like, those little shot bottles and actual bottles of liquor. So when I had sleepovers, we would play bartender. And, like, but I wasn't urgent to drink or whatever the case may be.
But it was just like...
But, all right. I mean, I had it. And when I, you know...
See, now look at us now.
Yeah, now look at us now. Alcoholics.
What's the next one? Poor conflict resolution skills. Oh. I think that's a good... That's a real good one. That's a real
like you
good
don't,
one. They don't even
you
know
don't,
how to...
You don't know how to end the argument or you don't know how to have a conversation that may have two different sides of it and y'all may never come to an actual agreement. Without just having that conversation, it turns into an argument. Everything always turns into a confrontation moment.
That's a big one. Cause you'd be like, damn, so you were just not, we just gonna argue in circles and then just go ahead about our business. That's it. That's all. Like, we never gonna have no type of, so how do we resolve this? Mm-hmm. It's never no resolution. It's just, all right, well, whatever. Like, you just
bring everything won't come to a, like, a, okay, I agree with you, you agree with me. Sometimes y'all gonna disagree and it's just gonna be that. But at that moment, both of y'all should be heard for both points. But people don't do that.
No.
It'd be like, I'm going to say five words. And on that fifth word, you get triggered. And then you upset and we arguing. And you bring it up shit I did 2 months ago. And now I'm bringing up shit you did 3 weeks ago.
And now you ain't getting nowhere.
And now we ain't getting nowhere.
Nowhere. You be like, man. This kind of ties into that. It says avoidant behavior.
Well,
I guess wanting to avoid...
You want to avoid a conversation or avoid something because either you don't know how it's going to end or you just don't
it's
have
like,
a resolution.
It's like I can see that as a trauma as a kid because you try to tell your parents something or you try to hide something from your parent because you don't want them to, you know, you don't want to deal with the conflict pretty much or the consequences that's going to come from it. Like if you was abused as a child and you know you might have failed the test or it might not have been up to standards, you kind of don't want to, you know.
You
so now
that.
You're older. If something negative could possibly come out of the situation, you don't even want
to. You
just
don't even bring that shit to the surface.
Avoid it altogether. Difficulties asking for help.
I had that.
Depends on the help.
I had that. I have that. I still have that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But like, having a baby child, that shit went out the window. I need help. I need assistance. She keep crying. I'm just trying to take a shower. That's all I want to do. I just want to make something to eat, and she won't let me put her down. Yeah, I need help. But that is a childhood trauma, asking for help, because you don't...
I think we all deal with that, though. Mm-hmm. Because most people say they rather do it themselves. I think nowadays, though, it's hard to just say you want to do it yourself. Like, yo, shit crazy. Shit, man. You need to... If somebody asks you for help that never asks you for help, you know shit real. You cool, bro. You all right? Yeah, I'm cool. I'm just, you know...
When it's a lot of us this close to even selling some shit or selling ass... Or whatever the case may be, that's when you know it's just like we need to rally around each other. Maybe you got a don't have to be monetary. I want people to knock out your head. It's not always monetary. Maybe
don't.
You have a resource that I can use that can help me. That way you helped.
Mm-hmm.
See how that
help
works.
Help me.
Exactly. That's how that works. Maybe you know somebody hiring. And you know I'm good for that job.
Right.
Help.
Just give me a little, you know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to give me the job, but you know, you can, it's little things
just,
you can do.
It's little things. It's
put
not
my
always.
Paper, get my paper to the top.
Sometimes it's just a word of mouth. It's not always you got to put, you giving somebody something out of your hand.
Right.
It's not that, but you know.
Perfectionism.
Oh, yeah.
Or perfectionism.
Well, yeah,
I murdered that word.
If you were a kid and like what you did was not enough, so you got straight A's, but you didn't make the Dean's List. You were a star. You were good on a football team, but you weren't the quarterback, or you weren't MVP. You were a star basketball team. Same difference. You were good at gymnastics, but you couldn't be head cheerleader. You were good at this, but your mom and them said that you got into Yale, but your mom wants you to get into Harvard. I don't fucking know. You always a star short of being perfect. Mm-hmm. So when you grow older and become an adult, it feels like you have to overachieve just for somebody to give you a star and say you did it and you better and you great.
Yeah, it's like somebody now, like thinking of that back then when they was a kid. Now it's like you done got your MSN, your BN, you got all these degrees. But you mad you didn't get this particular degree. Like, yo, you got a good, great paying career. You got this, but they always like, I feel like I need to do more.
That'd be the problem with a lot of black women. They get bored and decide to go get a damn degree. And they'd be like, sis, sit down. And it's just the simple fact that if you constantly told that what you're doing or who you are is not enough, you have to overachieve because you want, no matter who it is, somebody to see that you are enough, that you are doing great, that you made it. And if people don't see that or nobody gives you that pat on the back or that congratulation, that person will take that to heart. Now I have to do more because you're going to see me.
Right. Chronic apologizing.
I do that.
What is that?
Chronic, like always apologize. Like, I guess it's always apologizing for something. But I'm trying to think how that would tie into a trauma as a kid.
Unless you were constantly, like, maybe you were clumsy or constantly making mistakes and you constantly got yelled at.
Yeah. Like, you're always doing something like that. Yeah. Like, you always like,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I feel like I experienced that as a kid. Like, I feel like I did something wrong and then, like, I would beat myself up about it.
And then sometimes it wasn't even that bad.
No.
Like, you might not even, like, you were beating yourself up about it because you were just over, like, you were just anxious about what could happen if they found out that this was going on. And at the end of the day, it didn't really matter.
Yeah. Constant need for reassurance. Like, you constantly need that reassurance from somebody.
That's horrible. I ain't gonna hold you. I hate it.
I hate people like that. That's like you. I shouldn't have to keep telling you that you're doing good or like. Listen, all right.
But that ties into being a people pleaser as well.
Constantly getting reassured.
You need to be reassured. People pleaser or a perfectionist
with a partner, that's
insecurities, trust issues, and those type of things too. Like you want to be reassured that they're not doing you dirty. Reassure that they have.
Reassure they still love you.
Yeah, they still love you.
Mm-hmm, that they're still like. Yeah, that's a good one. Like, if your partner got to keep constantly asking, like, you know, I'm here. But I just want to make sure you know that I'm doing that. Sometimes you gotta be like, we're good. You know, just make sure you cool.
Yeah, but I mean, but the thing about it is that people in relationships a lot of times won't have that conversation and say like. Won't have that hard conversation that everybody has where you reach where at a certain moment in your relationship, whether you married or y'all been together for some years, y'all reach a point where it might be like, I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'm bored.
Yeah.
And as a make a breaking point, because some people take the I'm bored and now it's like, oh, I got to go talk to somebody else.
Yeah.
Or I got to go find something else because I'm bored with this. Yeah. So that means you boring.
It's kind of hard to tell a woman that you're bored.
Bitch, you bored?
Women always think that it's somebody else when you, like, when a man's just like, I don't want to do this no more. Or I'm bored or something like that. They're like, well, who the fuck is entertaining you?
If you come to me and say you bored, like, if you came to me, if we were good yesterday, what was yesterday? Friday? No, yesterday was Thursday. Mm-hmm. So if yesterday we were good, we was laughing, we were joking, it felt like old times. And then today,
out of nowhere,
you say, oh, I'm bored. Bored what?
They could have been just thinking
I'm bored with this relationship. Bitch, what?
Now, if they explain it that it was, they've been thinking, well, you got a point though. You just said y'all was laughing and everything yesterday. So that kind of just it disqualifies any type of.
I don't give a fuck.
But you also don't want to wait until like it's a downtime.
But you don't want to wait until you get to the point and say, I'm bored and I'm done.
Yeah, if you say I'm bored and I'm done.
That means that you were sitting on this. You didn't say anything. You let me think we were good. And you didn't come to me and have a conversation or nothing.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And the one thing I don't like is that either guys or girls or women do this. You get into these relationships and then y'all get bored. And then you'll be like, I'm bored and I'm done. And you'll try to explain it. And you'll make it, and you'll think it's better because you're bored and you're done, but you didn't cheat. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. care. Because at the end of the day, why didn't you say anything?
Right.
Because either we could have fixed it, or when you got bored, maybe I was bored too, but I'm thinking we still fixing this.
Yeah.
And we then, working on it. He's still here. I'm still here. So we gonna be bored together until we find that spark. But no, I'm bored. I'm done. Okay.
That sounds like you either want to go be a whore, or you just don't have the energy to plan dates. I'll be on TikTok all day.
Like, you can find anything. TikTok,
you can find anything.
Yes. You travel somewhere, anything. You
I use TikTok now. I know I'm going out of town. Oh,
yeah, you go in there and check and see what I'm saying. That is
because they're gonna give me the honest truth. Google be lying.
Yeah, no, yeah, TikTok, Google be lying. Yeah, you get the real
Google
reviews.
Be like that. You're on 4.5 stars. Yeah, yeah. I get on TikTok, they be like, two, like that John, solid
yeah.
two.
Yeah, you walk in there, you be like, yeah, the food wasn't what y'all said it was, mm-hmm. and all is that. Y'all put them fake reviews on. See, Google, you can put them fake reviews. TikTok, you put a video. It's like, ah. Relying on external validation to make decisions. Like, you need somebody else's opinion to make
that's social media.
To make the final decision.
As you use the social media for your relationship. Or yeah. you getting on social media and letting it influence your relationship. You yeah. get on, like, you think your relationship is good, like you solid, y'all, you feel like y'all communicate, y'all do this, that, and third. You get on social media and you see one video of a girl or a guy telling you that, oh, the 10 things that guys do when they're not interested in you, 10 things that girls do when they don't like you or they cheating on you. And then you hear one thing mm-hmm. that might be semi-close to something that you've seen your partner do.
Yeah.
Now I have doubt. Now it's like planting a seed because you're so impressionable about what other people say. So now yeah. your relationship is just like kind of on the brinks of right. anything.
And that's exactly why social media nowadays, that's why a lot of people be so confused mm-hmm. when it comes to their relationship, because they using everybody else's advice to make their decision.
Right.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, we can give you a million opinions of our opinions all we want. Mm-hmm. It's down to you. You got to pick that person. You got to live with that person. We ain't got to live with that person. Y'all got to live with that person. So ultimately, you got to make the decision. We can't tell you what house to buy. We could tell you maybe about a house, maybe about this, maybe about a job, maybe about mm-hmm. this. We can't make you pick the job. We can't make you pick the house. We can't make you do a lot of things. But that ultimately yeah. is your decision. We could just give our opinions. But don't let social media dictate. See, especially a lot on the younger, a little people under us, social media is so impressionable mm-hmm. that why you think so many people, chicks with the BBLs and there's all the everybody trying to look the same.
Child.
But then they'll see somebody natural and they can't, they like, oh, well, they don't like the way they look or something like that. Like, what? That's natural. Or they automatically assume that's surgery. Like, no, that's all.
Child be like, no, this is homegrown.
That's all.
Or birth control. One or the other. Happy weight. I don't fucking know. Something done changed that happened to make this situation situate.
Yeah, but hey.
Like, I mean, yeah.
That's bad. Two more. Problems accepting compliments.
I think that's weird.
What, accepting a compliment? People can't even accept a good morning, let alone a compliment.
Like why you
say try to tell somebody good morning, they automatically think you try to talk to them. Like, first of all, I was just saying good morning. You.
Like, why are you saying good morning? Like, oh, damn.
Yeah, I can't say good morning.
Like, it'd be weird. Like, you ever like be out and like people just walk by, like people walking by you and they just smile at you and then go about their day.
That's a white people thing, yo.
Black people do it too.
I feel like only older black people do it.
That is true.
Older black people yeah. just general white people. And I'd be so confused because I'd be feeling like I don't have that face that people just look and just say hi to. I just like, I don't feel like that's me.
Like two ladies yesterday, I was renewing my fucking passport. Mm-hmm. And I walked past and I was walking through the gallery or whatever, and this lady was walking towards me and she just was like, her mood was just so chipper and upbeat. She was a black woman, of course.
Right.
Her mood was so chipper and upbeat, and like as soon as she looked at me, she was like, hi. I was like, hey.
Listen,
it was just like a feeling like, damn. Right.
It's something about them older black women, like the older, like 50 and up, mm-hmm. like they give you that warm feeling. Like it's a job that I'm on, so it's like it's an occupied building. So like me and like my other coworkers, they're white, of course. So we walk in, but it's the older lady. She got the music going. Mm-hmm. She call everybody baby. See? Hey, how you doing, my baby?
Yeah. And I be seeing videos like on TikTok when white women talk about it, when they'll be like a black woman giving you a compliment mm-hmm. feels genuine. Yes, because mm-hmm. I ain't about to lie to your ass mm-hmm. and say anything and look good and it don't look good.
Older black women get a certain type of respect. There's yeah. always Miss such and such. I don't give a damn if you an adult. It's Miss Barbara. It's Miss this. It's Miss that. There's always a Miss in front of
it. Yeah, but I don't care if we work in the same job.
Yep, it's Miss. Miss. Last one. It says a need to fix everybody else's problems. I need to fix everybody else's problems. I wonder, let me see, as a child, how would that,
what did you go
growing
through?
Up, yeah, that you need to fix everybody else's problems. Oh, you know what? It could have been maybe you had to take over young. Like maybe something.
Oh,
like
you
maybe,
had multiple siblings.
Yeah, it could have been oldest. That. Yeah, it could. I'm thinking that's what that means. Like you was the oldest. You was always like, mom might have been at work. Dad might have been at work. Or you just might have just had to, they might have passed. You never know. You just might have had to take care of everybody.
I used to get going through high school, middle school, especially high school. I used to get like, my friends would be like, oh, Ashley, the mom. You act like the mom of the group. I don't know. My mom was hands-on. So that's what I grew up in. I grew up in a household of, like, this is, like, we nurture. We care.
Yeah.
We give off love. We make sure you're good. Make sure you're okay. Even now. Especially now. Like,
yeah, especially
now, it's just like a phone call. Like, you all right? You good? You need something? No, I'm good. I'm all right.
Everybody need that phone call, that text message, that something, just checking on somebody, just seeing if they good. You know, always got to, but you know what, it be them fake check-ins. That's the one you got to watch out for.
Hey, you good?
The fake check-in, and then 20 minutes later, well, you know, since I had you, I figured I'd ask you, you know, if you,
I don't even want to do that.
My grandma be doing that shit to me. I be getting mad, bro. I just start ignoring her, like, hey, son, how you doing? And then next thing you know, they be like, you have $40? Bro, how do you
I would rather you just ask for it.
Yeah.
Like, even if we ain't talking in a minute, I would rather you ask for it. Because yeah, I'm going to say yes or no.
Don't give me the runaround.
I'm going to say yes or no. That is what it is.
And ask me if you going to borrow it or do you need it. It's two different things. Don't tell me you're going to borrow it and then I'll never get back.
I need $30.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't expect it. You know,
can I have $30 until Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay. Tuesday.
Tuesday come around. You try to get your money back. Oh no! Well, what happened was they get the whole story. You like, ah,
like damn, bro.
You'd be like, all right, you know what? I knew. See, when I loan money out, depending on the amount of money, I don't expect it to get it back. But if it's over a certain amount, I need that bread.
I actually don't be looking for it. Like, I don't know. That'd be weird. I don't be looking for it.
I feel like if I have it,
I'm looking for my $100 back. $50, all right. Yeah, cool.
It depends because it's just like for that type of money. If I gave it to you, I had it. Like I had it.
But
if I didn't give it to you, if I gave it to you and I know it was my last one, I shouldn't be giving it to you.
But you had it then.
But I had
next week might have came around. You might have needed it.
Yeah.
You had it at
but
that time.
But a lot of times I'll take it as like, because I don't like genuinely look for it back where I'm not like, oh, you got my money, da da da. It's just like I'm thinking of when I ask you for something, you got me.
You got me.
And if I asked you for something and you never got me, but you always asking me for something.
Yeah, we ain't doing that.
No.
You died.
You always getting a no. You always going to get a no.
Yeah, go walk off a cliff.
Like, it's what you're always going to get a no.
Just go walk off the cliff. Mm-hmm. Man, that hour flew past. That hour flew past. We got back in like it wasn't nothing. Shout out to Lil Mama. She was asleep the whole time.
I would show y'all my guest, but she's sleeping. I'm not about to wake up.
That's a star in the making. Star in the making right there. She just yawned and went right to sleep and was quiet the whole time. Good night. Listen, man.
That's a fake it till you make it. Yeah, exactly. In the house, you don't do none of that.
But we're back, you know. Like I said, it's been a while. You know, life had to life.
Life
with all
life,
other
huh?
stuff, you know what I'm saying? So we back now. You know what I'm saying? Your favorite podcasters. You know, we around. So like we always say, man, common sense ain't always so common. So put a little bit more smarts in the world. You know, I see a lot now. I see the make it make sense. I hear it and I see it so much now. And I know it might not necessarily be from us, but that whole phrase of the make it make sense, man. I haven't heard it so much in the past couple months of being off. Man, I'm telling you, y'all need some balance in your life. I know y'all missed it. It's cool.
It's all right.
Cool.
We are back in
heaven. Because we be watching other stuff too. Like, man, that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, that was cool. But, that was cool. But, this year, we're going to make this a good year. We're going to do a lot more guests this year and a lot more collabs this year.
Mm-hmm.
God willing, a live show this year. I'm putting that in the air right now. It's going
to happen. We are doing a live show this year. A live show with Q&As and all that.
We are manifesting
stuff.
It because it's been in my head. I've been thinking about this for the longest. We've been thinking about this for the longest too, but we are doing a live show this year because we got a lot of supporters and I feel like it just would be dope. Hey, we might even have another podcast underneath us open up for us. We never know. You know what I'm saying? We might, you know, we got ideas.
We got ideas, Sonny.
We got ideas. But on that note, it's the Bo Vance.
And I'm Ash.
Holla at y'all.
Bye. Make it make sense. Come on, make it, make it, make it, make it.
make it make sense. Come on, make it.